Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Today we have this formula in the church. Just accept Him and you're saved. And though the scriptures say believe and be saved, the word believe doesn't mean say, yeah, I believe it. The word believe that's used there is a word that means to put your faith into, to believe in such a way that everything that is spoken or said, you receive, you adopt to, and you follow because it is true.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
To believe Jesus means to have an active faith in who Jesus is and submitting to His will by obedience. Receiving Christ as your Savior does not mean you'll just have an emotional experience. It's about forsaking the world and following Him. Do your actions reveal that you have a real living faith in Christ? Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8 verse 18. As we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, The Cost of Following Christ.
And when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to Him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Then another of His disciples said to Him, Lord, let me first go and bury my Father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. So we're in the Gospel of Matthew. I talked to someone this past week and they thought the Bible, just like I did at one point in my life, was just a bunch of verses that you pick and, yeah, God gives you strength. And, you know, all these different verses that you can pick from. Blessed is the man and all this stuff. They just thought you picked it, enjoyed it, chewed on it, and conformed your life to a verse. However, it's not simply a bunch of verses thrown into a book for you to take as nuggets of wisdom. Like the book of Proverbs. No, the Bible is a message. It is something that God wrote through human instruments to communicate to mankind who He is, where we come from, and where all this is headed, and that there's a choice to be made. And Jesus is very clear today about that choice and the cost of making that choice. Jesus is the Messiah. What that means is, Matthew is communicating to a Jewish audience primarily, that's his target, that the Messiah that we were expecting is here and He's Jesus, and I'm going to show you as I write this book about His life, this account of what He has done, the gospel. And the reason they were expecting a Messiah, and unfortunately they had forgotten, because they had turned the Messiah into this person who was going to restore Israel back into, well, out from underneath Roman rule, back into its own statehood. You know, that we're under Roman oppression now, and we need this Messiah to come now because the scepter has departed from us. We're not ruling ourselves anymore. And so we need a Messiah to come. But they lost the whole picture, the big picture that their scriptures talked about. And that goes all the way back to Genesis, the fall of man. Not the fall of the Jews. Not the fall of any race except the human race. Man fell. And so from that time, there was a promised one who would come. There would be a seed of the woman who would come and redeem mankind. And from that time, a Messiah was promised. God chose Abraham, a man of faith. Not because the Jews were a better people, because Abraham wasn't a Jew. The Jews didn't exist yet. He chose Abraham, his descendants. One of his descendants would be Jacob, who would be called Israel. And that's where the nation of Israel came from. But the reason we follow this group of people is not because there's more exciting things going on in their lives. Well, actually there is, because it all revolves around God. But they're not the most special group of people. It's that we're following God's plan. His story revolves around this group of people. If it hadn't been Abraham, it could have been Joshua or whoever the name could have been. It happened to be Abraham and his descendants as he's fulfilling the promise of God to bring around this Redeemer, this one who would redeem mankind. The problem with the Jews or the nation of Israel is they turned it about them. It's about us. We're the special people. They were, because they were to be the light. The Messiah would come through them, but salvation wasn't only for them. It was for the world coming through them. And they made a mistake. And because of that mistake, they missed the Messiah. So now Matthew is writing his gospel, showing them what Jesus came to do. And that meant that a choice would have to be made about who he is. In fact, right now, in this culture, you and I and those who ever hear about Jesus have a choice to make about who he is. Will you believe in him or will you not? Now see, today we have this formula in the church. Just accept him and you're saved. And though the scriptures say believe and be saved, the word believe doesn't mean say, yeah, I believe it. The word believe that's used there is a word that means to put your faith into, to believe in such a way that everything that is spoken or said, you receive, you adopt to, and you follow because it is true. That's the word believe. Not simply, yeah, I believe that. I don't believe that one. But to believe in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I read something from A.W. Tozer. He said, the whole accept Christ attitude of today is likely to be wrong because it shows Christ applying to us rather than us to him. It makes him stand hat in hand awaiting our judgment on him, our verdict of him, instead of our kneeling with troubled, submitted hearts awaiting his verdict on us. It may even permit us to accept Christ by an impulse of mind or emotions, painlessly, at no loss to our ego and no inconvenience to our usual way of life. The accept Christ formula. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. You've probably encountered him. He comes by way of his Holy Spirit in the form of conviction. There are times in your life you can't even get away from Christians, it seems like. And God speaks truth into your heart. And then you realize, I've got a decision to make. And very often what we'll try to do when we're so immersed in the world is, I don't believe that. I believe this. All the while, now you've been catapulted onto this journey. This truth comes. It keeps hitting you. It keeps coming back, and you start to despise it or you start to consider it. But you've got a choice to make, because God's word is truth. It doesn't change. It doesn't change with the culture. It doesn't change with people. It doesn't change with circumstances. It does not change. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so when he wrote the scriptures and when he taught in his scriptures, he didn't go, I'm teaching for today's culture, but 2,000 years from now, this book is going to be irrelevant. All of your teaching is going to be for naught. So die for this culture, but hey, it doesn't go beyond you. If that were the case, Jesus would probably come down every 40 years or so and reestablish the new gospel. Burn all the old Bibles, because here's the new gospel. But he doesn't. He expects that his people will pass on his truth. That's what he told them. That's what God told them. Take my words, take my law, and pass it down. It doesn't change. But Jesus is alive, and he marches throughout and down the corridors of time. Every generation he marches through, and he cries out to each and every single person one thing. Follow me. Follow me. Not just believe me. You believe me? Okay, good. Don't change anything. Don't do anything. No, follow me. That's the cry. Not just receive, but follow me. To Matthew, who was sitting at his tax collector's desk, Jesus walked by. He said, follow me. Matthew followed him. That meant change for Matthew. Everything was wrong in Matthew's life, apparently, being a tax collector, a Jewish tax collector, submitted himself to the Roman government, liked the way Rome did things, and liked getting some money from Rome, the Roman government. And so he was forced to make a decision, and he left everything, and he followed Jesus. Peter and others who were fishermen, they left their fishing boats, and they followed Jesus. They've left the income. In fact, they left their dad standing there. They left everything, and they followed Jesus. There was a rich young ruler who came and said, what must I do to be saved? He told him some of the moral code, the laws, to which the rich young ruler, I've done those. I've kept those from my youth. I'm doing good. Now, he knew he wasn't doing good because just the fact that he needed to come to Jesus being a very moral person and say, what do I do to get saved? There was something missing. Jesus says, well, here's what's missing. You're rich, sell everything you own, give to the poor, and follow me. And it says that the man went away very distraught, very discouraged because he had so much stuff. What about you? Are you following Christ? I know that many of us believe. I believe. But James said that even the demons believe. Is that necessarily enough? They believe. They believe more than you do. They know more than you do about Christ and about God. But there is a difference in just simply believing that He exists, believing there's something more, and following. And that's a matter of the will. Your will versus His will. The call to follow Christ comes with its own cost. And that is laying down your will. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells His listeners that they need to count the cost of following Him. You say, whoa, wait. Everything I've heard about the gospel is He paid everything. He paid the price. And that is true. That is the gospel. Salvation could not be paid for by you or any good works that you do. You could lay down your life. You could even die for yourself and not go to heaven because you're not perfect. And so He paid the price. However, someone who believes in Christ follows Him. And you need to count the cost. Do you really believe in Him? What is the cost? Well, you'll find very quickly the cost, but let me just give you a few. One, you may lose family members because you're getting too religious for them. You're getting too sold out. You're too convicting for them. Just to be around, all you want to do is Jesus now. The more you think about it, what else really is there that lasts? You lose friends because of the same thing. Nothing you're doing bad. It's just too much. Jesus is too much for those who don't follow Him. You'll even have those who, hey, I love Jesus. I love the Word. I love the Bible. I go to church. Stop that convicting me. And the truth is, their will is not sold out to His will. Now, I'm not going to draw a line in the sand. That's salvation. But I do want to say that there is a difference. James speaks. You want to read a good direct book, James, read it. He says, basically, if you believe and it doesn't change your life or cause you to submit your will, can that believing save you? And his response is really, no. That's the whole idea of the faith without works is dead thing. It doesn't mean you have to do works to be saved. It means if you are saved and you have faith, it will produce works. It will. That's the whole idea of believing. So the call to follow Christ comes with a cost. You will end up like Paul. It is no longer I who live now, but Christ lives in me. I don't make the same decisions that I used to. I don't think the same way that I used to. So the question today is, are you a follower of Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Have you really counted the cost of following Him? You know, the church, I don't know why you're here or why you want to call this church or what you look for in a church, but the church has never been meant to be a hangout club or a networking club or a social club. It was never meant to be that, and yet so many are looking for that. I want a place with a large singles group. Hey, do you have this kind of group? Do you have that kind of group? Well, we have the Bible. We have the truth. Oh, that's fine. Everybody's got that. I just want... And everybody's got their own truth, but I just want these groups. And there's something wrong with that. The one thing we should want is the truth. The truth. Because it has the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. It has the power to transform your life. You're in trouble now. You're making decisions that your truth doesn't fix. But His truth does. Because it is the truth. And so we need to humble ourselves and follow Christ. Are you willing to follow Him? Verse 18, he says, "And when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to Him, 'Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go.'" Now this sounds like the response we're looking for, right? He's come down. Everyone said already, this man teaches with authority. Not like the scribes. This is a scribe. Not like the scribes and the leaders. This man teaches with authority. Then he comes down. He heals the leper. Tells him, don't go tell anyone. Go to the priest. Get yourself proclaimed clean. And so here's this guy. He is excited. This guy preaches with authority. This guy can do some great things. And now he's going to another side and he says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." All right, follow me, right? That's what we're to do. Follow you. I'll follow you everywhere. Sounds like a man who's in. But when we look closer, Jesus knows differently. At least He wants the man to consider what in is. And it's more than being excited. It's more than an emotional decision. Look at all you're doing. I'll go with you everywhere. That's the emotional decision. That's what happens to many Christians. Good message, or someone comes back and shares about missions. We're going to go. Well, we need to go to missions, or whatever the case may be. You're excited about it, but then the mission trip comes, or some hard task is demanded of you and you're not in. You weren't in. You were just excited. Jesus wants more than that. And that's why He responds to this man the way that He does. So Jesus sees the crowds and He gives a command to depart to the other side. Now, the first thing this would do, this command to go to the other side, it would make it inconvenient for those who are currently following Him to continue following Him. Right? All right, we got the crowds here. Let's just preach, man. Let's just hang here and pour into them. But He says, no, let's go to the other side. He's getting in a boat. He's going to go to the other side. They're going to have to follow Him north, way around the Sea of Galilee and end up on the other side. Now, you can do it, and at a good pace, you could. And if the winds are stiff, you could beat the boat to the other side. But you still got to take the walk. You got to leave home. Some might go, I can't follow because, I got to do some chores or whatever the case may be. But the convenient followers would be done away with. There are a lot of convenient followers of Christ. A lot of those who, if church is more than a block away, if the weather isn't perfect, oh man, if it was 42 degrees, but it's 41 degrees. And 42 degrees is refrigerator temperature, and I just can't go out in that. I mean, do you just hang out in your refrigerator? I just can't do that. Or the birds, if they're not singing today, it's a sign that I just don't need to go to church. We have a lot of fair weather followers here in this culture. If it's not convenient, we stay home. And you know what happens when you stay home? You miss a lot of what God wants to do. A lot of God wants to say, a lot of Jesus' teachings were to those who were there. They didn't have the internet. You didn't download Jesus' teaching. I'm just going to stay at home and download Jesus' teaching today. You didn't do that. You miss a whole different element. And so there are fair weather followers, and Jesus kind of gets rid of those right away, going to the other side. But then this scribe says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Excitement. You know, the Bible speaks about those excited by a word, but who have no roots. They grow up, they sprout up quickly. They're emotional people. Oh, God's good. Oh, yeah, God. Oh, everything's God. They 90 miles an hour they go. But they're so easy to pluck up, toss it aside. There's no grounding. There's no root in them. Matthew 13, we'll get there, but there was the parables of the seed. Some fell on the rocky soil and sprang up quickly, but it had no root, and it faded away very quickly. So many Christians are like that, or so many who are in churches are like that. They get excited, but there's nothing there. And Jesus makes this man aware of what he's saying when he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. He challenges him now to count the cost. You say you're going to follow me everywhere? Okay, here's the cost. There's a honeymoon period in just about everything you do, the newness. I remember these commercials. I don't remember who it was, Sprint or somebody. It was a joke, a running joke, that the new customer gets all the luxuries and benefits, but the old customer, well, you're already our customer. We don't have to win you. So they had like this schoolroom, classroom commercial, and the kids were coloring with broken crayons, and they didn't have all they needed. And then they go, oh, here's a new student. Jessica's a new student in our class. Here's some brand new crayons and brand new. And the new student gets all the new stuff. The new student, even today, they get all the hellos and how are you doing? You come to a church and you're new. Everyone's kind of swarming you. And I'm new. It's a new church. That's why I like new churches. But in everything that you do, the honeymoon period wears off. And that's where you find out whether or not you're grounded and rooted and you're in for the long haul, or you just kind of need that continual newness in life. People are in and out of relationships all the time because, oh, man, they used to always treat me nice. They call me this. They open the doors. Now it's like the honeymoon's over. It happens. The honeymoon ends. And we need to continue on this course. You see, with Jesus, it's always a honeymoon. But there's a time where He expects you to grow up. That every time you open the Bible, you just flip it open and touch a word. There was one time you could do that. And God would just blow you away with what He was speaking. It's like, whoa, no matter what I do. But there's a time where that's not enough. You get dry. You need to press in. You need to dig into the Word of God. You need to apply some of the things that you already know are true and you haven't applied. See, to follow Jesus means to walk the same road or to follow with Him. We need to consider that when we think about the idea of following Christ. That's why they were called Christians in Antioch, because they followed Christ. They were followers of Him. Everything He taught, they did. So they said, well, they're Christians. They follow Christ. That's a Christian. The term doesn't mean the same today in our culture. It just means somebody who believes certain doctrines that makes them a Christian, the Bible being the center doctrine. But it's a broad term now. But a genuine Christian is a follower of Christ. That's what we hope and pray to minister to here and to remind us all here. We are followers of Christ. The idea is this, that you will get to know Him better by experiencing life with Him.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is also available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. Then I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.